everyone. It's the Booze Witches back again. We are both going through some severe allergies right now, so we sound very raspy.
Yes, raspy, but still, it's a sexy raspy.
Yeah, I said we both sound like the Countess right now, because between the wildfires and allergy season, it's all joining up together.
Very true.
So we're here for a Bravo recap. Just mostly a Real Housewives recap, because, you know, we have some reunions ending. We have some new trailers coming out. We have some housewives that have announced their departures. So we're going to talk about all of that. And why don't we start with the big news of the day? We're literally recording hours after NeNe Leakes announced she's leaving Atlanta for good, question mark. I'm assuming for good.
I knew that was going to happen. Like, I mean, I'm sure you did too. Like,
yeah, I think most people did, huh?
Yeah. We just, it was like, okay, she's not going to come to an agreement with them and she's going to leave. I honestly think though that it's time for her to leave, because she really hasn't been happy and she hasn't been able to find like a good, like she hasn't like kind of fit in with the group in a while.
Yeah.
This discourse.
Yeah. And I feel that it's always like her filming with maybe just Marlo, and like maybe she'll join the group vacation. Like it seemed like last season, because they were doing those negotiations and then it like cut into filming. And I feel like we only saw NeNe for like half the season. I don't know. It was kind of strange.
Yeah, definitely. We saw, because she had some strife, like, especially I think she had some strife with like Candy as well. And like,
Candy's, and then Greg had cancer.
Yes.
But and was cheating on her.
Taurus, and she's just like, holds a grudge like no other. Like, I'm ready for them to bring Phaedra back, so I'm going to need Candy to get over it. I mean, some Scorpio energy on the show right now.
I know. I think a lot of people miss Phaedra, but it's like still those problematic things she did. I mean, I think and I hope that, you know, if Candy was able to forgive Portia, I think she can forgive Phaedra. I think if Phaedra is, you know, if she were to like be actively working on herself, because I feel like Portia has been, and Portia was like in that unevolved energy of like being around Phaedra and being like the little, like her little sidekick. I don't know. But yeah, anyway, going back to, oh wait, go on.
I think I just was watching Phaedra on, I think it was Marriage Boot Camp. So she was just on that season with a guy. I really enjoyed seeing her on TV again. And I also, I mean, I don't know how much she's like evolved, because she's still very much controlled by her trauma. Like, I mean, the way she was acting with this guy, like, I mean, she has more walls up than the fucking, you know, what's that wall in China? The Great Wall of China.
Yeah, yeah, Great Wall of China.
Yeah, she's very like, so, you know, I don't know how much, I don't really feel like she's evolved. I feel like she's just protected herself even more. And I think with her and Candy, there was such a deep friendship there. And then when that went left, especially her being a Scorpio, I mean, obviously what Phaedra did was not cool, but I was still shocked that they removed her from the show just like that, because obviously we've had like certain people on the show that have not on other shows, say like for instance, Vicky with her cancer scam, and she was not asked to leave right away. So I was like, why did she not get a second to at least, maybe if they're like, the producers are like, okay, you need to make things right. Because, you know, they even did that with Portia when she, even though Kenya was out of line, obviously Portia shouldn't have gotten physical, but they even allowed Portia to come back and make amends. And like, they were like, can you make it right? You know?
Yeah.
That's what I was kind of bummed that they didn't allow, because obviously this was like a relationship. Candy and Phaedra were like fucking Thelma and Louise.
Yeah.
And so that bond, like in her being a Scorpio, like, she allowed her, you know, spitefulness to come out, and I hate that she did that, because I actually really liked having her on the show. So I don't know. I would like for her to come back, and like you just said, if she can make and like try to redeem herself.
I think that would be a really important storyline, because you're right. It's like they they never fired Vicky for all of that. And the cancer scam was huge. And I feel like a lot of people were expecting her to be gone from the show, or, you know, at least issue like a sincere apology. But it just seemed like Vicky kind of got out unscathed from that. So I agree. I think Phaedra coming back would be maybe like the hole that we would need to fill, like of Nene leaving, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like everybody deserves a second chance too, you know, whether or not, I don't know, maybe she pissed off the producers behind the scenes. There's, you know, there's things we don't know, but we are missing that, like that kind of witty, I don't know. Cause like Nene back in her prime was like, she always had one liners. I mean, she has some of the most iconic lines of Housewives history. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So yeah, I agree. Phaedra coming back would be interesting, or even just like a new, I'm honestly shocked that they didn't keep, oh, you know what I am hoping? I know we're talking about Nene leaving, but sorry. We always go back to like casting and stuff. I do hope that Marlo does finally get a peach.
Oh my God, yeah.
But I also hope that Tanya gets a peach as well. Like,
they
better be giving Tanya a peach, because Eva brought nothing, and I'm assuming Eva's not coming back.
She's not coming back. She already announced
She did confirm, right? Okay.
Yeah, she's just like a wet blanket. She's like the Teddy of Atlanta Housewives.
For sure, because she brings nothing.
She's gorgeous, but I'm like,
She doesn't bring a storyline.
Look at you, okay?
Yeah.
like that's what top Marlo is for, sweetie. This is something different.
Like, she read Marlo that one time, and then that was like the only thing she gave us. So I'm like, yeah.
And she never owned stuff. She would say stuff and then act like she didn't say it. It was super annoying. Like, housewives are supposed to be badass, not scary. So,
yeah. So, well, I hope that in Nene leaving, I hope that they give those two some peaches, because I think that would be a really dynamic cast at that point, because it would be like Cynthia, Portia, Kenya, Marlo, Tanya, Candy. And then if they add Phaedra, which I don't think they will, but maybe eventually.
I'm hoping. I don't know why I have an inkling about it. I'm just really hoping that she gets to come on as a friend, especially, I don't know if her, I think her and Portia are on good terms. They're not as close as they used to be, but
yeah.
I just think that would be a really good storyline, and having Phaedra try to get good with everybody. And you know, there's going to be pushback, especially from like Kenya's ass.
Sure.
I think that would be a good growing experience for Phaedra too, because yes, like, she was right in her feelings to be hurt by, you know, what happened between her and Candy, but she should not have gotten spiteful and petty like that and tried to like do all that shit. It was just like, it was too much. It was like, girl, like, and then, you know, Portia's just like, you know, she has an air moon. She's just like kind of like fucking ditzy at times. She was just like, I'm being used. But you like me?
Does she have a Libra moon?
No, she's Aquarius, I think.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I don't know why I've never looked up I think I have looked up Atlanta moons, but I don't have them memorized for some reason.
Yeah, we definitely have talked about it before. I believe we have. I don't know why I know her moon off the top of my head. Oh, probably because she's a Cancer. And I was like, what is her moon?
Yeah, you're thinking about the combination.
Yeah. Like, she plays ditzy, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, she's a little wiser than we like to think.
Hey, that could be a Cancer thing, too. You know, y'all Cancers like to be a little emotionally manipulative.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that with the air moon. Yeah.
And I'm talking unevolved, obviously. I think Portia has evolved since then. Portia is an absolute icon. But yeah, Nene, I mean, rest in peace.
I know. It's so crazy.
End of an era, you know?
I think they're going to be getting rid of a lot of
OGs,
especially in the climate that we're in. I think
they're
like, we need to do a shakeup. We need to like,
I mean, we've been talking about this for months doing, you know, these Bravo recasts. The time has come, everybody. And it's, I mean, okay, so the one that we were upset about transitioning is obviously another iconic Sag that we are still not sure if she left on her own accord, but Andy Cohen recently came out and said that, yes, Dorinda potentially needed a break from the show. It almost sounded like they were giving her a leave of absence, but Andy said that he would be open to her returning, which makes me feel great. Did you hear about that?
I did hear about that, and I'm not shocked, because it's one thing when they just fired Tamra, mm-hmm. or they were trying to phase her out, but she was not a fan favorite anymore. Like, she was actually like really being hated by in the
future. Right.
Dorinda is a fan favorite.
Yeah.
And she still is. She still has that energy. But I do think this will be good for her, because even though I'm like so sad about it, like I have an Aries moon too. And like, just, she has such a hard time. I mean, I can't even imagine having the Aries moon with a Sag sun, you know?
That's a lot of fire.
You know, it's a little, yeah, you're going to be a little bit, the intensity is going to be there, but it's a little bit harder to actually self-actualize and say you're probably could have handled it differently.
Right.
Which I know she was struggling with, because even a couple of times when even Lou was trying to talk to her, she, you know, that Aries moon placement, especially if you're not involved or if you are highly intoxicated, because even if you are involved, if you're highly intoxicated with an Aries moon, you can become extremely defensive. Like your first mode is war. That's it. Like, so, you know, I understand her, and I am like, oh shit. Like, I get it. Like, I would.
Yeah. You empathize with her because you've been there.
And I would know how to deal with her, and I would know never to try to have a conversation with her when she was
right.
Like, and be like, we think that you, like, no, Dorinda's three sheets to the wind. I'm not about to have an emotional conversation with her. She might fucking break my neck. So yeah. It's like, they did not get that. I mean, it would have been hard to have a conversation with Dorinda even sober, but I still would have did it anyways. But yeah. I would have did it with her sober and away from everybody. And if she got an attitude, I'd be like, too fucking bad. Like, you know,
right.
I would have gave her the energy right back. Like,
and dealing with an Aries moon, you have to kind of, you know, you have to catch them when their guard is down, when they're not on the defense. Like you said, you know, Aries moons do have, I mean, you guys will cool down quite quickly, you know, after you, and we see that with Dorinda. I mean, we see her get really turned up really fast, and then she's fine, you know, like an hour later, like she's moved on and she's moved forward. Maybe she's not completely over the issue, but she will move forward and just kind of cool down and cool off for a little bit, you know? And I think having Leah there and Leah kind of knowing, and Leah has a fire moon too, kind of knowing how to handle the situation, I think was good, because Dorinda felt like she had somebody she could trust. And I think that's the thing. Would you agree with Aries moons that you always, if you're in a situation that's confrontational, you do always kind of need somebody there to kind of either back you up or somebody that you feel that you can trust, so you don't feel like you have to be on the attack so much.
Yeah. Well,
or I feel like Dorinda was a lot.
Coming at you. Yeah. And she had, even though Luann's approach was a lot softer than,
than Ramona.
Ramona or whatever, it still was, you know, three
bad timing.
Saying something while everybody's intoxicated.
Yeah.
And it's a sensitive subject. And you're right. There is something that obviously Dorinda is not like fully happy. And we already saw that with when you watch the beginning of the season. And if you are her close friend, you know that it was obvious that she is still mourning. She was talking about her late husband more than she was talking about John.
Yeah.
Her current boyfriend at the time.
Yeah.
She just reminisced. She was having a very hard time. And I guess right after her husband passed, she, instead of like dealing with it, I think her daughter had mentioned that she got right with John. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it was her coping. She was trying not to like feel that loss.
Yeah.
And that aloneness. So I think that's what she was dealing with at the time during this season. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist, especially for the everybody, you know, it's hard because Ramona, Luann, and Sonia, they're all very self-centered people. So they wouldn't have been able to tap into that and just be like, wow, she's really hurting. Like, honestly, the way to get Ramona or an Aries moon, like, if you probably would have just started hugging her and just like really patting her head, she probably would have turned into like a puppy. Probably.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I disagree about Sonia, because Sonia does, I mean, Sonia has a tendency to follow Ramona's lead a lot. But at the same time, Sonia does have that Pisces moon, which does, you see these flashes of her being very like empathetic with other people. And she'll be like, oh, you know, well, she was going through this. She does tend to do that with, you know, with all the women, I think. Sonia does tap into her Pisces moon energy a lot. And that's why she always says she's a creative person. She's an artist. You know, that's very Pisces moon of her. So yeah, Sonia, I think when Sonia does have her unself-aware tendencies, it's when she's around Ramona too much. You know what I mean?
When she's around Ramona or when she's like highly intoxicated.
Yeah, 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 of course.
Because then she just comes, she's just like in her body. She's
and
just
insensitive herself, to anyone you know? Else.
Yeah, like, yeah. She's just feeling herself. Like, I'm just thinking of her dancer right now. Just like, yeah. You know, she can't even notice anybody's energy in the room but her own. She's just fascinated with herself. When she, but in a very, it's in a very like, funny way, like it's not.
Oh, totally. Sonia doesn't take herself seriously, and I love that about her. I think that's what everyone loves about her, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, yeah, she gets with Ramona sometimes, and yeah, she start. But Ramona come. I don't remember what Ramona's moon was.
I believe Ramona's obviously a Scorpio, but she has. I believe it's a Taurus moon.
A Taurus moon. Yeah, but Ramona was a little bit on the cusp of Scorpio Sagittarius, if I remember right.
So she could have like I wouldn't be surprised if she has like a Sag Mercury, to be honest.
Yeah, and she
because she's so that, close to the.
She has that same. Who was the only other person that I know is that Scorpio Sag area was Peyton. She was on that, and I can always see like similarities there. Like when I see Ramona, I think of Peyton sometimes. Like,
I do think about the Mercury signs though, because I know that. You know, the cusp thing is very controversial with everybody, but I would not be surprised if, you know, with Mercury, it's like, it's always your sign or the one before or after. Would not be surprised if Ramona has a fucking Sag Mercury, because that would be like, because it's her mouth. You know, everybody always says she just fucking, she's like word vomit all the time. That's a Sag Mercury for you.
She probably definitely has that. And yeah, I know people think that. the cusp are so controversial, but
yeah, they go, oh, you can't have two sun signs at the same time. Well, you can maybe have the energy of them, you never know.
Energy does not cut off exactly where it's
like it's 6:05 p.m.
Yes, it does not work. So even if,
because it changes every year too.
Exactly. So not right at the fucking, you know, June 23rd is like, bam, Gemini. Energy does not, it flows. It does not work like that. Slowly diminishes into the next thing. So,
and that's how we talk about people too. We talk about, you know, people always go, oh, why do you hate on so-and-so so much? It's like, well, we're talking about the astrological energy, not the astrological person. You know, you as a Virgo or as a Cancer, whatever, you take on the energy of these signs. And that's why we always talk about evolved or unevolved, because you can take on this unevolved energy of it, or you can take on the evolved energy of it based on your life choices and whatever it may be, you know, and however it wants to manifest, I guess. So people always go like, why do you hate on Capricorns or whatever? We're like, no, it's not all Capricorns. There's so many different factors.
People get really offended. I was just with a group of girls and I made a couple of comments about like, oh, that's very like, we were listening to something. The person got like fucking monstrous out of nowhere. Or it was like an intense operator came up then too. It was like a recording. It was like, ah! I was like, oh, they probably have a lot of Aries placements. And like Aries kept getting so offended. I was like, relax. I was like, I have Aries. I'm intense. Like, calm down.
Like, yeah, you're like, I can talk shit about it because I have it.
And I'm like, and it's true. Like, that is the place of, that is like the god of war. Like, it is. Be an intense place. It is what it is. The more, when you realize that, you're able to control it more. Once you realize that.
Yeah. And you're kind of able to honor it, because you can look at your flaws within yourself too. And like Rinna says, you can own it, baby.
Oh God. She irritates the hell out of me.
I know. We'll get into the reunions later if we have time.
Pisces moon. Oh, I like, and I love Pisces moon. Don't get me wrong, but sometimes they.
She's the unevolved.
Yeah. And they can be very flip-floppy and easily, like, she can be manipulative, but she also is easy manipulative, like, manipulated, and sometimes...
She's a Cancer, too. She's got that, like, double manipulative energy.
Yes! I'm like, oh, my God, like... And she,
all right, let's not get into it too much.
Like, yeah, she just drives me nuts.
If we have time, we'll get into the reunions a little bit, but I feel like that might be a whole nother episode. But anyway, so also... Rest in peace, Dorinda. Hopefully you rest in peace temporarily and she'll be back. I think she'll be back and I think she'll be better than ever, honestly. She gets this break and she gets to kind of like sort out her emotions and stuff. I think this will be really good for her.
Yeah, I hate that her attitude made people like Tinsley more, because I can't stand Tinsley. Yes, I get it. Dorinda Tinsley is fake as fuck. She's not showing her real life. Everything's like she tries to paint it as a fairy tale. It is fucking annoying. I get it. But the way you came about it, you just made people like her more.
Yeah, it was the delivery was the issue for sure.
Yeah, I was like, all she did was make people cheerlead behind. Now Tinsley's like, I'm living a fairy tale. Like, Scott is a narcissistic dick. Like, I can't, I hope, I'm so hoping she has her baby soon. But I don't see, like, everybody trying to turn this into some, like, fucking Cinderella story. It's, like, nauseating. I'm like, the guy is literally a fucking asshole.
Well, and did you hear the stuff about that there's potentially some more issues that we're not seeing between Dorinda and Tinsley?
Oh,
that supposedly Scott lent John some money or something.
Yeah.
And then they cut out that scene. Did you see the scene where she's like screaming on the phone?
Yeah. I don't know why they would cut that out, but
that could have been a whole storyline.
Yes. And it would have been better if we would have seen that.
Yeah.
But how embarrassing that you have a, like, if I'm dating somebody and I run with a certain group of people that, you know, maybe this certain group are pretty wealthy, and then I bring you around and you're propositioning people for money, you're asking for money, and I find that out, I'm going to be annoyed. I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm like, yo, man.
So was it John that was supposedly asking Scott for money? Okay.
Yeah. And Scott, I don't even think it was a loan. I think he gifted him the money. Like, I think he was like, you know, like, I need money, or, you know, I need to do this or that. And like, I think Dorinda was mortified. Like, I bring you around this group and you're like panhandling.
But I want to know what Tinsley had to do with it in that sense, because I feel that Dorinda as a person would not go that hard against somebody unless she had a major issue with them. So I want to know how,
Tinsley might have brought it up in front of I think that's how she found out. I think I think Tinsley was like, oh, well, yeah. Oh, John got that money from Scott. I think she brought it up in front of the ladies and she was mortified.
Oh, okay.
That's why I think she ran off to the side, called him like, what the fuck? I'm hearing you lent money out. I mean, you got money from somebody.
Yeah.
Like, I bring you around these people and that's what you're doing. You're asking for money.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Sit your ass down. This is embarrassing.
Yeah, because Aries moons do not go that hard after somebody unless they've had an actual issue with them that's not resolved. You know what I mean? Like, Dorinda wouldn't be coming so hard after someone just for no reason, you know?
Yeah, and I think also the fact that she thought, like, Tinsley was so fake all the time, which she does act like that. She's like, I'm a princess. And like,
yeah, she's very surface.
Yeah, and I think it was just fucking irritating to her. And mm-hmm. then she was like, I'm not with Scott. And then she was like, you were with Scott, my friend saw you at this. It's like always like not being authentic and being real. And I think on top of that, and then she probably felt like Tinsley was trying to, because, you know, Aries moon, we have an issue when people try to humiliate us.
Yeah.
Maybe Dorinda was kind of poking at her a little bit and she pulled out that jab to humiliate her. And then that was the straw that broke.
Yeah.
She was like, oh no, you did not, bitch. Because
I can absolutely
Dorinda
see that.
Didn't even know this. So she was blindsided, like,
yeah,
and mortified. I mean, and rightfully so. If my fucking dude is doing that, I can't even imagine. I travel a lot for work. I go to a convention, I bring a guy with me, and he's at a date a work dinner, and I found out he's like panhandling at the table. And like, oh, your dude wants to borrow $20,000. I'd be like, what?
Like, yeah.
No way.
Without you being aware of that, I mean, that would be like, but, I totally understand why Dorinda would be pissed off.
Like, you do not do that. You don't do that. That's super embarrassing. Like, and it's just bad etiquette all around. Like, you know, if you're doing that bad, then maybe you should have talked to Dorinda about it and been like, I need to try to get a loan. I need to try to do this. You know, but yeah, you don't do that. Your girlfriend's bringing you into this fucking community, and new group of people, and then this is what you do. Like,
yeah, that's not cool.
She was cussing him out. I was like, damn.
Oh, on that clip that they didn't, that they like just showed at the reunion. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we do obviously look forward to Dorinda coming back. She's given us so much. Do we want to move towards, well, we heard that Garcelle has been confirmed to come back to Beverly Hills, which I think, fuck yes. Let's can we just recast around Garcelle, please?
Yeah. I'm
just
happy
put that out there.
Cause I thought she didn't say like, oh, I'm not coming back if Denise doesn't come back.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that she didn't do that. Cause let me tell you, Garcelle, Denise wouldn't have done that for you. Okay. Just like she just turned her phone off and didn't tell you she wasn't coming to the party. She wouldn't have done that for you. So don't let her stop you getting the bag or get more exposure. You know, like you can be her friend, but you know, Denise isn't that loyal. So don't do that to yourself.
Yeah. And I feel that, you know, obviously I don't think that obviously either of us isn't shocked that Denise isn't coming back. I think most people aren't really shocked that Denise isn't coming back, but that's why I wanted to discuss Garcelle, because I feel that, you know, Garcelle has obviously so much more to give us. She's, I'm just jumping from iconic Sagittarius to iconic Sagittarius. Garcelle, another Sagittarius. She actually has the same placements as Nini, I think, at least Sun and Moon. I think they're both Sag Sun, Taurus Moon.
Really?
Yeah. So anyway, so Garcelle's confirmed back. I feel like we've already talked about who we want to see next season. We can speculate a little bit if you want, and then kind of get into the reunion if you want. But I would love to see Garcelle back. I would love to see, again, I feel like we talked about this on the last Bravo episode, but if they could just bring back Garcelle, Dorit, Sutton, and maybe like Erica as a friend of, and then just like a whole new other three new people. I think that would be fantastic. I don't think we need Kyle anymore. I think her time is done. And I don't think we really need Rinna anymore. I don't think Rinna is that essential.
Can we drop Rinna? Rinna needs to be dropped. She's so easily like her loyalty sway. Like she just wants to follow the group. Mm-hmm. Like we don't need a weak. Like if she was actually just like living in her truth, just like sticking to her guns, but she's so and I think that's like the Pisces moon part. Like she just needs to fit in. She wants to go with what the group's doing. Cause even for a second, she's crying with Denise. And then she's like, as soon as she gets with Kyle, yeah, you're right. Like, I'm like, oh my.
It just she didn't feel genuine this season. Like she did in earlier seasons, you know?
Yeah. And the first season, like, and I do feel like she is easily manipulated. Like her, sure. She lets her emotions get to her, but
she also easily manipulates other people.
Yes. And she's easily just pulled them. I'm just like, when I saw that jump from her Denise conversation to the Kyle one, I was just like, I can't deal with this anymore. It's time for you to go. You're not sure. But Andy really likes her. So I don't think Rinna's going anywhere.
Yeah.
I think the producers like her and I think Andy does. And honestly, I don't think Kyle's going anywhere because I saw an article on Daily Mail that, Bravo was in talks with Kathy Hilton about her becoming a friend on the show.
Well, obviously that we want to see. We want to see all the Richards and Hilton drama.
Let me tell you, Kyle must be nervous because she sees all the OGs getting let go and she probably pulled this fucking out of her ass and begged Kathy because Kathy hasn't wanted to do the show. And if Kathy does this, this is literally probably to save fucking Kyle's ass. Cause we're like,
does that mean we'll get Kim back too? I hope.
I would love her if Kim came as a friend. I agree with you with Erica, her being a friend, because she just doesn't bring enough. I'm like, yes, she's talented. I actually like her as a performer. I just saw that she was going to be performing at the Fenty show, which I'm super excited
about. Oh, that's awesome.
I like her as a performer, but not really as a housewife. If I got to see more of her and Tom all the time, or just her loosening up instead of being like, you know, a mannequin and mm-hmm. like, I mean, I love her looks and I love that she's so into that, but I want to act that Beverly Hills is just like such a surface. It's such a surface show. Like out of all the other ones, like we don't really know much. They try to keep everything hidden. That's why they try to stay on just one topic the whole time. So
yeah, that's why the one storyline thing, it doesn't work. And I feel like the audience is getting bored with it, you know?
Of course, everybody likes to jump on that bandwagon and stay quiet because then they're like, well, at least they're not going to bring up anything about me.
Well, yeah. And if the whole group, it's like that group mentality of if we all go after one person, like we all go after LVP or we all go after Denise, like, yeah, I didn't love Denise because she would always run away from confrontation. I would have liked to have seen her actually fight back. But at the same time, like it's that annoying group mentality of they keep going after one person just so they don't have to show their own shit, you know? Exactly. And that's what they keep doing. And the audience is tired of it. I can see it on the internet. Everybody's bitching about how Beverly Hills needs to be redone. And we don't need to blame the housewives. We need to blame the producers as well, you know, because the producers do stage a lot of the, you know, I mean, the issues may be genuine, but they stage a lot of the setups and stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, and they also need to recast, like, and so they do on them too. And I definitely feel like, you know, Denise is annoying because she is running away and she's a fucking liar. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Once again, just like I said, Dorinda, you made people love Tinsley, even though she is creating fake storylines and acting like things are a fairy tale. You made everybody gather around fucking Denise because you guys are doing that fucking gang up mentality because you don't want to show your own life. Like, we all knew Denise was like, it's apparent. But you guys just beat a dead horse. You don't want to bring up your own shit.
Yep.
It becomes like, damn, well now, fuck, I got no choice. I got to side with Denise. Y'all are fucking ridiculous.
Exactly. And I have to say, I loved Dorit all season because I think Dorit was kind of not in that group mentality as well. She was kind of standing on her own. She's serving us looks. She's serving us humor. I was like, Dorit? Serving us wittiness? So I did like Dorit a lot this season, and I hope that she comes back. I think she will. And I was going to say that if Garcelle is coming back, which she is, I like that she stands up to Rinna, and I want to see more of that next season.
Yes. And you know what? I was a little annoyed when I saw the last reunion when Garcelle was saying, like, when Andy brought up, like, Garcelle, you said that Rinna was making everything about her with Erica's new, you know, role she got. And I remember that episode, and I remember seeing Erica's face and the eyes she made, and she looked down and she fucking agreed with Garcelle. It was all over her face. She widened her eyes. She looked up and then she looked down at her napkin and folded it. And I was like, and then there, she's just like, I agree with, I mean, she was like, I don't think Rinna had any ill intent. You know, Erica then was like siding with her because then Rinna tried to switch it. Like, you didn't come to any of Erica's shows. So who's really not being supportive?
Right. So they're going with the gang up mentality again. Yeah. Then I'm like, if they try that on Garcelle, I swear to God, I don't think she's going to have it. But I do think that if they were going to try that, I think we need to have Sutton on the show because Sutton is a straight shooter, Virgo, sad rising. give Sutton a fucking diamond because at the same time, Sutton and Garcelle's friendship, like evolving friendship, is something I think we all need to see as well. You know what I mean? Like, if Garcelle's going to go up against the gang up mentality, she needs some strong ass personalities. Not that she's not strong, but I'm saying that I want to see more of not a singled out kind of thing. You know, I don't think Garcelle would let that happen, but if Rinna and Kyle and all of them are going to do that shit again, let's get some like really straight shooters in there. Like Sutton, you know, like Garcelle.
They're annoyed with Garcelle because she's not kissing their ass.
Yeah.
Sutton's being, you know, obviously she's a little bit nicer too because she did give the nice gift bags. And then I just heard that she's the one that chartered a fucking plane for all of them to go out there.
But she'll still call you out on your bullshit.
But at the end of the day, Sutton did all that. And guess what happened? After that reunion, I think it was on the after show, Garcelle was saying like, oh, they had a party at their house. It was like Erica, Rinna, Kyle, Teddy. And I think they invited Dorit, but like Sutton and Garcelle and Denise weren't invited.
Yeah, of course.
So I was just like, yeah, I'm like, I hope Sutton paid attention to that. I actually think it might've been Sutton and Garcelle in there. I can't remember. Cause this was like maybe a month or so ago. But I was just like, okay, she's actually been making a conscious effort. She even charted that fucking private plane for you guys. Mm-hmm. That is fucking expensive as fuck.
Yep. To do.
And I just heard it was a big plane. There was a bed in it. I was like, and she gave you that. And I'm like, and then you guys don't even invite her over after the reunion.
Yeah. Because they're a bunch of bullies.
Yes. I was just like, oh, okay. Like hearing that, I thought that today. I was like, wow, they're fucking dicks. And you know, Sutton, save your money. You're a rich bitch. You're fabulous. Fuck. Let them beg for that shit. Mm-hmm. Your fabulous charter stuff have Garcelle, your certain people, Dorit, like, yeah, you know, have them beg to come to shit with you.
I can see that happening. I think if Sutton gets a diamond and she's going to like kind of have that leverage over the rest of the group. Yeah. But I truly hope, and like you said, I don't think it's going to happen yet, but I truly hope if they get rid of either Rinna or Kyle, the group mentality won't happen anymore because I do think it's Rinna and Kyle producing behind the scenes as well. And forming these storylines, you know, but if you get rid of one, then the other one has to, you know, they can't do the gang up mentality anymore.
You're forgetting Teddy, though.
Well, I'm just assuming that Teddy's not coming back. It's just like wishful thinking.
I know. You know what's so funny? This reunion, she thought she was stylish coming with pink hair. I was like, I can't. Just make her stop. Like, it was like she was trying to, I don't know what she was trying to do, but I was just like, Teddy.
I never know what she's trying to do. She tries to be confrontational.
Yeah, we don't like you. Nobody does. Nobody wants you on the show. And I think Andy just had he just had Watch What Happens Live, and like, I think it was this week. And then they were like, if you could fire one housewife, who would it be? And they were like, oh, that's easy, Teddy. It was like, just laughing. So Andy smiled. I was like, he's like, people do. I think she's only been safe because she's besties with Kyle. Like, let's be real. Other than that, if Kyle didn't latch on to her, I don't think she would be on the show.
Or if Kyle got fired or left the show, I don't think Teddy would stay on the show either. Yeah, I don't think they would let her.
She's so boring. I don't even know. Like, the first season she was on, I was confused. Like, because she has a famous dad.
Yeah, we've had to have how many seasons of this shit now?
Well, whatever they hold, a diamond.
Yeah, diamond. So I was going to say, okay, so we covered Beverly Hills. Do we want to talk about gloss a little bit over the Salt Lake City and the OC trailers coming out?
Mm-hmm.
The new things to come. All I can say about OC is I do not want to live the pandemic through Kelly Dodd.
So obnoxious.
I really can't.
I mean, I have not liked Kelly Dodd since she got on the show, but I did like her when she was like standing, like the one thing I did like about Kelly was she was the only one brave enough to really stand up to Tamra and Vicky. And she I feel like people get on that show and they're the OG. So people would want to kiss their ass or fit in with them. And she was one of the few. So as much as she got on my nerves, she was a necessary force.
Absolutely.
Now that they're gone. I think it might be your time too. I don't know if I want you here anymore. Like,
well, that and all the bullshit she spews about, she's basically like your typical, I don't want to generalize, but your typical Orange County housewife, in that she's extremely Republican, extremely conservative, and extremely dumb.
I think she needs to be reminded that she is of Mexican descent. Because she wants to be Caucasian so badly. Mm-hmm. The comments that she makes, and I've seen her make on like TV, especially about like comments about black men, certain things, I can just tell she just pushes away from anything that like makes her like anything close to a minority. I'm just like, oh God. Like, I'm like, I love that we had like a Mexican woman coming on the show and then it was Kelly Dodd. I was like, oh, somebody who's ashamed. This is not what we needed. Somebody who is like ashamed of their heritage and like would prefer to like assimilate into the dominant fucking culture instead of like, you know, being proud of who they are. Like, that's the last thing I want to see. Like, on TV. Yeah. Like, bye.
Well, I heard that was it Peggy? She was the one that came on a couple years ago.
And, the Armenian girl.
Yeah. She was like the 100th housewife. I remember she came out recently and said that Kelly Dodd was like calling her ISIS and things like that. I was that's not shocking. It's horrifying, but it's not shocking.
I 100% believe that. Kelly is horrific. And I know she says even worse things about other minorities. And I feel like she does it a lot in the presence of other white people to fit in.
Oh, absolutely. It
is absolutely asinine.
We're not even seeing a little bit of it. We're seeing
I'm like, this is the last one. I mean, like I said, she was a necessary evil, but now I'm like, it's definitely time for, and I also love, because I told you, I found out that I could stream Bravo, and mm-hmm. I was like so mad at myself, because I was like, let me just check to see if I could do this, and then fucking old OC Housewives was on. And I was like, oh my God, I got so excited. I was like, oh God, I had to watch this episode.
Yeah.
And it was like Heather was on there, and it was like Shannon when she first came on. And you know, that's one thing I liked about Kelly too. People were so scared of Heather.
Yeah.
And Kelly did not care. We needed that energy there, because
absolutely.
Heather has such a domineering Capricorn energy. And then she's also like very self-righteous and sanctimonious. So like somebody coming in with like a foul mouth being like, fuck off, your way doesn't, you know, it was hilarious. I'll never forget that first season. But I just seen Heather, like I watched an old episode and it was Heather and I love Terry DeBruy. I love her Virgo husband. He just fucking, his personality, he just cracks me up. But they were going in on Shannon and David DeBoer. And I was just like, people were so intimidated by them. So it was like a breath of fresh air for Kelly to, cause even Tamara, I feel like was intimidated in some ways by Heather. And the fact that we had somebody like Kelly come in and she was just like, go, I never forget that sushi restaurant where they were on the floor.
Oh, I know.
I'll never forget it. So I was like, you know what? Kelly was so necessary cause she shook that shit up. Able, and there was just these OGs or this like heir to certain people on there. And every, you know, I hate when we get new housewives that don't have confidence. And that's one thing that I think you do need to have. You do need to come in and not be like kissing ass or whatever.
Yeah. You need to not give a fuck what any of the other women think about you, and don't get into that group mentality like they do on Beverly Hills, where you kind of saw it with Gina on OC coming in. You saw it with Emily. I feel like they all like had to like kiss Tamara and Vicky's ass. And you know what I mean? Like Kelly definitely didn't do that. That's what made her so dynamic on the show. But now it's like, somebody said this on the internet recently. I can't remember where I saw it, but they said, there's no star on OC anymore. We don't have a star. Shannon is not a star. Gina is sure as hell not a star. Kelly Dodd is not a star. She's a villain. Like you don't have the moral compass, or you don't have the voice of reason. It's like everybody just seems to be just flailing on OC. It's like they're all just kind of doing their own thing. It's like, it doesn't make sense.
But how did Gina get on the show? I'm just like,
I have no idea. She needs to be on like Vanderpump Rules.
She is such a basic bitch to me. I'm like, there is no way she sent a tape in and they were like, wow, this is OC. There's nothing OC about her. She's super basic.
Well, I thought you would at least have something going for you. I feel like Gina has nothing going for her.
I was like, how did this woman even get I was so confused by the producer's decisions here when it came to that. Even the other girl, I'm forgetting her name, Gina's best friend.
Emily.
Even her, like, I mean, honestly, I'm interested in her story when it involves her husband.
Yeah, because that dynamic is crazy.
Yeah, that family dynamic is very interesting to me. So the fact that he's on and all that I'm interested. But other than that, I'm still shocked that how Gina and Emily got casted. They're very lackluster to me. They just don't have these badass. I mean, Emily has it way more than Gina does. Gina's just like fucking Staten Island to me. I'm like, wait, how did she? What? How did we get? When did this turn into Mob Wives? Like, why is she on the show? I'm so confused. Like,
but even the Mob Wives had something going for them. Gina has nothing.
Yes, I don't.
She doesn't have a storyline.
Who's Staten Island? I'm like, this is not OC. And then not only that, she's just basic. I'm like,
but then I also don't think that somebody who, and I obviously feel really bad for her situation, and I don't think it's great what her husband's doing to her, but like, I don't think that somebody like that should be on reality television. You need to get your life together. Like, I'm not saying that. I don't mean that to sound accusatory, because obviously, you know, she's in a rough situation with the kids and with the ex-husband, but somebody that's going through shit like that does not need to be on TV.
Yeah.
You know, plain and simple.
I agree. I don't think she needed to be. And then it was so fake when she first came on, you know, she was just like, oh, my husband, and everybody could see through the facade. It was just like, this is embarrassing.
It was sad. It was honestly sad. Like,
wait, how did she get casted for this? Maybe the producers just wanted to see a divorce unfold. They thought it would be good drama, because there's no way they bought any of that shit on tape. They were probably like, what is this? And then him to even be like, I don't even want to film. Because even Sutton, she was actually going to film with her family. And then it was like last minute, her husband was like, no.
Yeah.
But for them to take on somebody whose fucking own husband who says, no, I will not film. I was just like, I was like, okay, the producers, they wanted to see a nasty divorce unfold. They had to, because there's no way, like after sitting down with her and listening to her story and showing her house and her husband being like, absolutely not. And I'm also not home 3 weeks out of the month. that she, they're like, oh yeah. Like, I think they wanted some mess and they're probably going to keep her. Like, maybe this might be our last season. Cause I'm like, there's no way they see star quality in her.
No. And I honestly don't think that the fact that we're all, maybe this is my personal opinion, but the fact that we're all still living in this fucking pandemic, I don't want to see the beginning of it because we're still not out of it. So it's like, even if we were out of it at this point, I still don't want to go back and watch all that shit that was going on 6 months ago. Like, I don't want to watch it again. And I don't want to watch it through Orange County, because we all know that Orange County doesn't give a fuck about the pandemic regardless. Yeah, so it's like, I don't want to watch it through the eyes of Shannon and Kelly, because they're both fucking idiots as far as I'm concerned. And I agree. I like Shannon when she first came on. She had an interesting storyline. You know, she wasn't afraid to show her vulnerability and she was confident, maybe not with her husband, but she was kind of confident in her, well, maybe not so much, but I think she became confident in herself, but because she showed her vulnerability, it was like, we all could root for her. You know what I mean? But at this point now, I'm like, Shannon has hit a wall and all Shannon does is just scream. And I can't hear her screaming about the pandemic when we're all still screaming about the pandemic. Like, I can't do it.
I was literally watching the first season she was on a couple days ago, and I can't even imagine how neurotic she's acting right now, because she was literally packing for her daughter to go to Europe with David, and the amount of supplements she had for a 12-year-old was insane to me. There were at least like 10 bag, full plastic bags. And she was just like, this, if you have a cough, if you cough just a little bit, take the minicadocin, and take this, if you're going to rub this on your head at night, right before bed, whatever she was reading. Yeah. I was just like, Shannon, calm down. Mm-hmm. Like, I was laughing so hard. You're right. Like, to see her through a pandemic, like, I want to watch that. Like,
no.
I'm like, she's going to be so psyched. This was just when everything was like normal with the air. Like, I can't even imagine. She's probably like, you know, I don't want to feel that anxiety through the TV. I don't think
I and the anxiety of knowing that they all live in an area that doesn't care. Like, I can't, like, I've seen posts, I don't follow her, but I've seen posts of Shannon like out with friends, or like they all have masks on, but they're all like crowded together. And I'm just like, I kind of think that Shannon's going that route of like the rest of, I'm not going to say all of Orange County, because I do have friends that live in Orange County and take it seriously. But the majority of Orange County that like doesn't give a shit about what's going on in the world and just only care about themselves. I can see Shannon going that route too, because of the area that she lives in, you know, but obviously she is very neurotic. So I think I'd heard that her and her daughters had it at one point.
Oh yeah, they did have it.
I honestly personally think that we've all had it at one point. Maybe we just never knew.
I've had it in a different time. And I was just talking about this, like, obviously I've been out a bit too, but I obviously live by myself. And I was talking about this to Charlene, because she was talking about one of her friends that she can't see because she just won't see her. And she was like, I think she's being a little neurotic. And I was like, well, you know, everybody's different. You have to like,
yeah,
allow people to handle you know, a crisis the way they're gonna handle it.
Yeah.
And I was like, but also me, like, I live by myself. I've worked from home the past 3 years. Like, I'm by myself a lot. I still take a lot of precautions when I go out. But if I was living back home, like back east, and I was around like my grandmother, because my grandmother on my dad's side died of COVID. And my dad had it and was really sick. If I was there around my dad or my living grandmother and like other of my older relatives, like I probably wouldn't have even went out at all.
Yeah.
Because I would definitely be going to visit my grandmother a lot, and I would be seeing my dad a lot. So I would just always want to take precautions. But I think I've already had it. I think I got it when I was in Vegas.
When was that, in February? Yeah.
January. I was so sick. I was like, oh my God, I was so sick there. And then just coming back, like, I was just like so fucked up. And I remember I was out there for about 2 weeks. And I remember when I was there for about a week, I had three conferences to go to. And the last conference I was at, the people coming in were like, that's when COVID really started and people started talking about it. And they were like, I was just got in from the airport and they said that somebody on Southwest had COVID and there were people in suits. They were spraying stuff down and like, and then so many of us started not feeling well. So me and my friend Leah are so convinced like that we most likely had it and got it being in Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. Cause it's a lot of people coming in from different areas of the world.
Yeah.
I think I had it because I work with I don't work now, but I did work with the public. And I think that my whole restaurant and my fellow employees all had it because we all worked in such a small space. And I had it, I think, after Christmas or like over Christmas. And that's when a lot of people come into town for the Rose Bowl and the Rose Parade. And so many people come into town for that, tourists, you know what I mean? So I think I had it and I think some of my family had it. And I think a lot of my coworkers all had it and we were all spreading it around. And obviously we didn't know. I think I was kind of aware of it in like January because it was like starting to come out and like through Asia and stuff. And people were talking about it over there. And I knew people who had gone to Asia and were like experiencing the pandemic in Asia at the time. And then this study just came out a couple of days ago that from UCLA, I think it was, that said that it was most likely floating around America in December, as early as December. So I thought, okay, that kind of confirmed it for me. I never got the antibodies test because it seems like people still don't know like how long you'll have the antibodies. I have a feeling that you could have them for 2 weeks up to a couple months. So I never got the antibodies test, but I have an inkling that we all kind of had it at one point. I have multiple friends that think that they had it. So anyway, going off on a pandemic rant, but
no, yeah, it's definitely, you know, I was just, that's why I had that conversation with her. I was like, you know, you have to let people process like the way they're going to process a pandemic, let them do it the way they want to. But like,
yeah, definitely.
So I was like, if somebody doesn't want to see you, they don't want to see you, and don't take offense to that.
Yeah. We're all going through our own shit right now.
Yeah. For me, like, obviously, like, I've taken a little bit more risk. One, I think I've already had it. But two, I'm still being, like, mask on and, like, I'm still taking certain my precautions. In LA, they're pretty, like, the places that I've been to, it's, like, only.
They're very strict.
And it's, you know, you still can't eat inside of a restaurant here.
Or people are, like, staggering appointments if you go see, like, a hairstylist or something. Because anybody that I know that works in them, whether it's in the beauty industry or what it is, like those people do take things seriously because they already have to, you know?
Yeah.
You don't fuck around as far as nail techs and stuff like that. Like everybody I know that does that all takes it very seriously and I think is trying to do the best that they can. But anyway, that being said, I still don't want to watch the pandemic through Kelly Dodd. So bottom line is, no thanks. I don't want to relive it. I don't want to relive 6 months ago.
Yeah, I don't. Honestly, the trailer seems like a blur right now.
I know. I honestly think I'm going to pass on the season. I don't want to watch it at all because there's nobody on there that I really like. So I'd much rather everybody focus their attention on Potomac. Can we talk about like the season that Potomac's having right now, you guys? Like, if you're not watching Potomac, what are you doing?
No, I don't get how any, like, there's a couple of blog sites that I look at occasionally, and when they post about Potomac, there's not as much, like, chatter under the post, and I'm just like, what is happening? Like,
what is it going to take for people to get into this?
Well, I also think, too, it's because it's a group of Black women, and a lot of the blog sites that I'm looking at, they're more geared towards, like, white demographic. So of course, they post Beverly Hills, OC, everybody's like, and they think maybe they're not watching it because they think they can't relate so they didn't even put it on. But you are missing out, you know, on this franchise is good. It's not, you know, I mean, I'm Black. I watch OC, I watch Beverly Hills, I watch Jersey, I watch them all. Like,
yeah.
Watch them all. They're all great. But no, Potomac is literally the best. Like I'm not saying that just because of like, it is so good. Like, and it's good because they're very, everybody lives in their truth. And
yeah, they put it all out there.
And, you know, it's refreshing. This reminds me of back in the day, Beverly Hills. It's like back in the day, Jersey, like wherever.
Yeah.
It's very raw.
And they're on their fourth season and they're in their prime time. A lot of shows have been in their fourth season and start going downhill. Potomac just keeps going up.
I know. It's getting so much better. Like, I mean, this season I'm just like blown away. And then I'm just like, I can't wait to see what's going to happen with Ashley when she has that talk with her husband. She just announced she's pregnant again too.
Ah, yes. I saw that. And all I thought was, get that money, Ashley.
Yeah, because she's definitely, I mean.
That's all I can say about that.
Poor Ashley. She wants, I mean, she's definitely, he's definitely going to do it again.
He's definitely going to do it again, but yeah, I think you and I are in disagreement over Ashley's relationship, and I'm still under the firm belief that there is a major agreement there. And I think that she gets pissed off when he does go around and do these things, because then she has to explain it and she doesn't want to explain the agreement. You know what I mean? Like, she'll get her shit.
You're coming for him. And yeah. I think because you like her, I feel like you want to believe that, but I think
it's not just me. There's other people.
Oh, well, no, there's other people for sure. But I feel like she is a fucking unevolved Gemini and they create their own reality a lot of the time.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
And I just think I think she doesn't want to leave. And I hate to use this term. I hate talking about daddy issues, but I think that they're definitely, that issue affects her relationship. And it affects like the way she allows men to treat her, and like, you know, her dad leaving and like, well, you know, Michael's still there. He's still trying to work on things. And I'm like, yeah, he's trying to work on his image. Like, that's about it. He knew that baby was a good idea the first time around when that story came out of sexual assault, amongst other things, and you stuck by him. Like, you did him a huge favor. And he needed to repay it and keep you happy and keep you around, because that can affect his business big time. But I definitely think... Like, even her saying, like, oh, I'm okay with threesomes. I know so many women that have, you know, do this with their men or their husband. Yeah. And then she was just like, I'm, you know, obviously now she's like, I don't want to be with anybody else. I think there's a lot of things she had to agree to secure the bag and to get with him. And
oh, I know definitely.
A lot of women that want to be with a powerful man, and they'll say and do whatever to be with him. It don't matter. Oh, you need a fist up your ass weekly, they're gonna be doing it. Once they really secure the bag and they're in there, then they start getting like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then they're like, yo.
I think it is wishful thinking for me. I do think that there is some sort of an agreement, whether Ashley's in control of it or not, we don't know. But I think part of me is wishful thinking of that. I want Ashley to be in her power, because there is something about her I really like. I don't know what it is. I think I've said it from the beginning. I've always rooted for her. To me, she comes off like an underdog. Just because she's had like so much family shit. I feel for the girl. I don't know what it is. I'm like, just let my girl secure the bag, please.
Well, trust me, it's going to be secured, because I think it was after 6 years, like the prenup's void or something like that. It was after a certain point.
Oh, yeah.
The prenup is void. So she's gonna definitely secure the bag.
She's sticking around for a little bit.
Yeah, she ain't gonna have no worries, because you know Michael tried to put her out before that.
Yeah,
like I remember that reunion where she was just like, "He put me out of the house."
And I remember.
Like, and that the way the prenup worked then, she would have only got a little bit of money. So I think that first scandal really worked in her favor, because you know a man like Michael is always gonna want to save face.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's how he closes his deals, and that's how he is. You have to have a certain persona. So, it definitely worked in her favor. He got karma, smacked him right in the face with that, because he was trying to put Ashley out, and then that shit came out.
Yeah.
So I don't feel bad for him one bit, because honestly, even if Ashley was looking at him like, oh my God, he's successful, he has money, you know, he was taking advantage of her too. She's young, she's got daddy issues, family, you know, she doesn't come from a lot. He was taking advantage too, and he has the upper hand. So, you know, I don't feel bad for him one bit. I mean,
of course not.
I want to like Ashley too, but I think it has been hard for me the stances that she's taken with other women on the show, mm-hmm. like to make me really like her. Just the way she was acting, even towards people I don't even like on the show, just like the way she was acting with them. I was just mm-hmm. like, but then now that I saw her shit come out, I was like, oh, that's why you're acting that way. Cause people yeah. like they mirror, you know, oh, there's shit exactly. in my stuff, so let me expose the stuff in yours. Cause there's stuff in mine. You know?
Ashley for sure projects a lot. And I think like in the last episode, she was projecting on Wendy because of the whole, like bringing the baby to the, you know, Ashley definitely projects a lot. Yeah. Most housewives project a lot. I mean, you don't have to be a psychology major to understand these women and their personalities, yeah. But yeah, I think after this week's episode of Potomac, we'll definitely have to do a whole Potomac recap. And I think we should do like a whole Roni reunion recap as well. Cause that only one episode aired so far.
I didn't watch the first episode yet. I need
the Roni reunion
rewatch.
Okay.
Definitely, you know, you are right. Ashley was projecting on what's her face, saying like, I needed to take my baby.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, Michael was not about to have you leave that baby with him.
Exactly. She
didn't want to say. So it was one woman. She was feeling like, damn, am I a bad mom? So you had one Wendy having like mom guilt. And then she was like, damn, we could have brought our baby. Like, and then she's like, you know, I think she was having mom guilt. And then here's her like, well, I have to bring my baby.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it was kind of like, bitch, you were giving up that energy like that. And no, you would have loved to be like, no, this is daddy, you know, son bonding time. Because I'm sure out of anybody you would leave your kid with, you'd be fine with the dad in the apartment, you know, then mm-hmm. instead of traveling with him so young into a foreign, like, you know, a different home.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to talk about this. Yeah, we're going to have to do a different podcast.
Yeah, we're going to do, yeah, let's come back let's come back. We'll be back with a Bravo recap after the Roni reunions all air. I think it's three parts. And then definitely after this next episode of Potomac, we'll be back most likely with some more Bravo for you. Until then, you'll probably see us on Instagram Live pretty soon. We'll be doing another one of those. We'll be coming back with some astrology podcast most likely. Maybe the current events one. What's that? There's
so much happening with the planets and like,
yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
So much energy going around and like, I just really, yeah, I'm excited to dive into that as well soon. So
we have a lot to dive in on, but expect an Instagram Live from us soon for sure. Cause we want to interact with you guys again, but I'm going to cut off the episode now. Jasmine has places to go. I have food to eat. What's that?
He said, I want to eat right now too. And I'm like, damn, I actually have to leave my house.
Well, go get a snack on your way out. But until then, we have been the Booze Witches, Jasmine and Kat, and we will see you guys next time.